This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amin ya rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So inshallah today I would like to share with you 7 things that I really wish I knew before I went to Hajj. And inshallah, I hope and I pray that everyone who's going to Hajj this year, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all their good deeds. And for those who are not going for Hajj this year, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you to His home very soon. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So, Hajj. Hajj and Dhul Hijjah, specifically the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which is when Hajj takes place, is the best 10 days of the year. And subhanallah, those who are performing Hajj are going to be in the best place on earth during the best time of the year. Subhanallah. Where do we get this evidence from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Al-Fajr and Layalin Ashr, by the dawn and by the 10 nights. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said that the 10 nights referred to in this ayah are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this was also the opinion held by Ibn Abbas and Ibn Zubair and others. They're the 10 days in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are no days in which good deeds are done during them that are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than during these 10 days. So alhamdulillah. And why is it the best place on earth? Because Mecca is the best place on earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that one prayer in Mecca is better than 100,000 prayers offered in any other place, subhanallah. And they also, inshallah, get to visit the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where prayers are multiplied there, subhanallah. So inshallah, I'm going to share with you 7 things that I wish I knew before I went to Hajj. Number 1, forgive and seek forgiveness. Now I want you to imagine that on the Day of Judgment, you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your hisab, and you don't see any good deeds on your scale of good deeds. And so you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, but I did so many good deeds. I went to Hajj, I fasted Ramadan, I recited Adhkar, I made Umrah, I used to give in charity. Ya Allah, where are my good deeds? And imagine on the Day of Judgment, you find out that none of your good deeds were presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from that. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Monday and every Thursday. And so when our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and pardons everyone except for 2 people. One who has shirk in their heart. They associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, none of us are mushrikeen, inshallah ta'ala. And the second type of person is a person who has resentment, anger, hatred in their heart towards someone else. It will be said to the angels, put them off until they reconcile. I don't want to see their deeds. I'm not going to look at them until they reconcile and they fix what's between them. So inshallah ta'ala, I know it's hard. And I know that many of us have been hurt by other people in ways that are unimaginable and indescribable. Believe me, subhanallah, I hear the stories from all around the world, and I have my own personal stories that I've been through. That's the reality of this life. The reality of this life is that people will hurt you. But subhanallah, the reward for forgiveness in Jannah is Jannah. The reward for forgiveness, for forgiving others who've hurt you, is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful? In Surah An-Nur, ayah number 22. So, and who is this verse revealed to? For? Like, what happened that this verse was revealed? SubhanAllah. We all know Hadithat al-Ifk, when the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, slandered Aisha radiallahu anha. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down her innocence, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which Abu Bakr, do you know who Abu Bakr is? Abu Bakr was the best person who ever walked on this earth after the prophets and the messengers. Abu Bakr is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said about him will enter Jannah without hisab, without taking a book. He will be the first people to enter Jannah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ's closest friend. When Abu Bakr found out that one of his relatives that he was taking care of financially was one of the people who spread the lies about Aisha radiallahu anha, he didn't hurt him. He didn't speak ill of him. He just said, you know what? I'm not gonna give him that money that I gave him. I used to give him every week. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse. So imagine us, subhanAllah. Imagine us, we're nowhere near Abu Bakr. And don't we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness so much? And don't we want to be of those who enter Jannah? One of my favorite hadith is the hadith of the man of Jannah. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and remember, when we say Prophet, we all are going to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Even if you're tuning in and you're just watching from a screen, and if you want to know why, you can go to the website dunyashoaib.com. Under blog, there's 11 reasons why you should send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the man of Jannah, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the masjid with his sahaba, with his companions, and he said, right now a man's going to walk in and he's a man of Jannah. And so this man walks in that nobody really knows. It wasn't Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali or Anas ibn Malik or Abu Huraira or someone that we know. It was someone that nobody really knew. And so the man sat down. And then the next day, the Sahaba were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, a man's going to walk in right now and he's a man of Jannah. And so the same man walks in. And then the day after that, the third day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man's going to walk in and he is a man of paradise. And so the same exact man walks in, subhanAllah. And so one of the Sahaba, Abdullah, he wanted to know, what is this man doing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam three times said that he's a man of Jannah? So he went to him and he said to him, may I spend a few nights in your home? Can you accept me as a guest? And so the Sahabi Abdullah says, I spent three nights with him and I noticed that the man did not pray any additional optional night prayers. And then I noticed that he didn't fast any extra fasts. And then I noticed that he didn't give extra sadaqah. Like, I noticed that he wasn't really doing anything extraordinary. And so after 3 days, I told him the truth. I said to him, I wanted to spend some nights with you to see what is it that you're doing that's entering you into Jannah, that's making you a man of paradise. But I haven't noticed that you've done anything special. And so the man said, my deeds are nothing more than what you saw. And so Abdullah was sad and started to walk away. And then the man called him back and he said, yes, my deeds are nothing more than you saw, except that every night before I go to sleep, I do not hold any grudge in my heart against any Muslim or envy anyone for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered upon them, has granted them. And that's when Abdullah looked at him and said, this is a difficult quality to obtain, and this is what has granted you that high rank. Now, subhanAllah, when you hear this story, especially when I heard it the first time, I thought a lot about the forgiveness aspect and not going to sleep with any grudges in your heart, which is so important. And inshallah, right now, I want you to take a few minutes and to think about those people who hurt you and just take that out of your heart for the sake of Allah. Give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those who are going for Hajj, I want you to do this every morning and every evening, because I promise you, someone's going to do something to you that's going to bother you or hurt you. Don't let it settle in your heart, not even for a moment. Once that feeling comes in your heart, let it go. Take it out. But the other thing about this hadith that's so interesting is that he said, I don't envy anyone for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. You know, envy is something that we don't really think about, especially when we go for Hajj. But subhanAllah, it's such a scary disease of the heart. I'm going to tell you why. The Prophet ﷺ said that envy and jealousy burns good deeds, devours good deeds, just as the fire devours firewood. Now, why am I mentioning envy and Hajj? When we go to Hajj, a lot of us have needs. Many of us are going for Hajj because we want to make dua for a sick parent or a sick child, or want to make dua that Allah blesses us with children, or want to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some hardships from our lives, or wants to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets them married. We all have these needs. And so it's very easy when you go to Hajj and you see so many people who seem like everything in their life is perfect. It's very easy for shaitan at that moment to come and to whisper in your heart. Be very careful of that. I'm going to give you an example. When I went to Hajj, subhanAllah, my Hajj was with Imam Umar Sulaiman, and it was a group of younger, newly married people, couples. And so everyone seemed so happy, subhanAllah. And after Hajj, a few years, a sister told me that during Hajj, she had envy in her heart towards me, because she noticed that I was always smiling and that I was always happy. And subhanAllah. And she said, you know, I was going to Hajj because I was in dire need of Allah's help and assistance. Like, I saved up everything that I had to just go for Hajj because I needed something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so bad. And seeing, you know, you and seeing other people, they're just so happy and it seems like their life is so perfect. It made me have this envy in my heart. And subhanAllah, when she told me that, I cried that night, because only Allah knows that I also went to Hajj because I was in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance. So don't think that because it doesn't show outwardly that people are in need, that they're not. And don't let shaitan put those whispers in your mind and in your heart. So be very mindful of that. And every morning and every evening, especially when you're in Hajj, take a few moments to think about anyone who has hurt you. Let it go for the sake of Allah. Think about anyone you might have this envy or jealousy towards, and take it out of your heart, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all and takes from us. So we all have blessings, but we all have things that we don't have, right? And so maybe you're envying a person for their health and you have no idea that they have no wealth, or that they just got into a divorce, or that they're just going through another hardship. So don't let shaitan come to you that way. So every morning and every evening, remove that from your heart. Now, I said that number one was to forgive and to seek forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, in the beautiful passage in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Hajj, he says, then depart from the place where all the people depart from, and ask forgiveness of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So constantly make istighfar and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness while you're at Hajj. Because guess what? We're going to make lots of mistakes. we're going to have lots of shortcomings, and the istighfar fix those, inshallah ta'ala. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I swear by Allah that I make istighfar and seek pardon, Allah's pardon, and turn to Him in repentance more than 70 times a day. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that we counted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam during one single gathering saying, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُوبْ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. My Lord, forgive me and pardon me. Indeed, You are the oft returning with compassion and ever forgiving and ever merciful. He would say it over 70 times in one gathering. So there's going to be a lot of gatherings during Hajj. You know, in Mina, and in Muzdalifah, in Arafah, if you're going for Aziziyah, in Aziziyah, when you're in Medina, keep your tongue moist with the istighfar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, inshallah ta'ala. Tip number two, intention, intention, intention. I cannot emphasize this point enough. You know, we usually make an intention right before we go for Hajj, right? We make that intention, Ya Allah, you know, I'm going for Hajj for Your sake because it's one of the pillars, and because of, I want Your forgiveness, and I want to come back with all of my sins forgiven like the day that I was born. But we have to constantly remind ourselves that this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone, and that your struggle is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, SubhanAllah, one of the scariest ahadith I've ever read was a hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am so self-sufficient that I am in no need of having an associate. Thus, he who does an action for someone else's sake as well as mine, so someone who does something for the sake of Allah, 99%, but 1%, they're doing it for something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will have that action renounced by me and to him who he associated with me. Now that's scary, because none of us go for Hajj for the sake of people. But how many of us, our intentions get mixed, right? I'll give you an example. We're in a gathering and we're like, you know, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, you know, I went on the VIP Hajj. I paid $20,000 for Hajj, and then they start talking about it. Now that's a little scary, because you need to check your intention. Why are you saying that? Why are you talking about your Hajj in that way? Another thing we have to be very mindful of is taking selfies, putting pictures on Snapchat and Instagram and all of these things. Ask yourself before you're doing it, why am I doing it? Why am I sharing a picture of myself, you know, during Hajj? And I'm going to be honest with you. When I went for Hajj, Imam Umar Sulaiman said to us, none of you should be taking photos. This is not a vacation spot. You shouldn't be sharing pictures of yourself doing acts of worship, because it's very easy for the intention to be mixed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam, Allah knows everybody and everyone is different. But I would highly suggest that you look at your intentions, renew your intentions, ask yourself before you do something, why am I doing it? Am I doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or am I doing it so that people can say, oh mashallah, you know, Sister Dunya is so amazing, she went for Hajj this year. So really ask yourself, inshallah ta'ala. And a suggestion that I would like to give myself first and foremost and to you all is that every morning after Fajr and every evening after Maghrib, just take 2 minutes. 2 minutes to renew your intentions. Renew your intentions and tell yourself that you're doing this for the sake of Allah. And something that inshallah I think that would be very beneficial is if, for example, it's the day when you're in Mina and you need to go through your Jamarat. After Fajr, make an intention, Ya Allah, today is this day of Dhul-Hijjah. I'm going to be going to throw the Jamarat. Ya Allah, I'm doing this for your sake alone. Please accept it from me. Because it's so easy, like I said, to lose that. And so remind yourself of your intention. Number three, lots and lots and lots of patience. SubhanAllah. it's not going to be easy and everything might go wrong. And shaitan is going to exaggerate everything in your mind to make you upset and to make it seem bigger and worse than it actually is. So mentally prepare yourself from right now that your hajj will not go as you planned, and that's okay. Accept the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be content with it and be patient and remind yourself of the prize, Jannah. Is Jannah easy? No, not at all. So remind yourself that it's not going to be easy, and that's okay. And when something happens to you that you don't like, remember the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Praise and thanks and gratitude be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all conditions, in all situations. And so, especially in Mina and Muzdalifa, it's very, very, very easy to lose your patience in Mina and Muzdalifa. Very easy to lose your patience during Tawaf al-Ifada when you're making Tawaf, because there's just so many people. It's unbelievable, subhanAllah. And what's patience? What's a part of patience? A part of patience is not saying anything that displeases Allah, is watching your tongue. So no complaining, no cursing, no arguing. And you know, subhanAllah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ explicitly mentions the tongue, words. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does hajj and does not speak any obscene words or commits any sins will go back cleansed of sins as if it was the day that their mother gave birth to them. Subhanallah. That's so important, because it's so easy to start complaining, to look over at the person next to you and be like, oh my God, can you believe this? Can you believe we aren't in our hotel room yet? You are going to be waiting for hours in the lobby of your hotel. You're going to be waiting for hours at the airport. Your passport most likely might get lost, and that's okay. You know, I've seen, when I went for Hajj, I've seen people literally lose their cool once we landed in Medina at the airport. So be very careful. Know that shaitan is whispering. He's trying to make you lose your patience. Don't do it. Don't say anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy that when you are waiting in the lobby for hours to get to your room, for you to look at someone next to you, the person that you came with, say something like, I can't believe I paid $16,000 for this. These people are so on this and so that, right? And so be very mindful of what you say. Right? The angels, they write down everything. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a person will say a word without being mindful of it, and it will displease Allah, and it will throw them in the hellfire for 70 years. So be very careful of what you say. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in that same passage about Hajj, He says Hajj is during the well-known months. So whoever has made Hajj obligatory upon himself by entering into the state of Ihram, there is to be for him no sexual relations, no disobedience, and no disputing during Hajj, no arguing. And whatever good you do, Allah knows it. And take provisions, but indeed the best provisions is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fear me, O you of understanding. This verse is so important. By the way, if you have some time, go and open Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah 195 and up, and you'll read the passage about Hajj. Beautiful, beautiful passage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, don't commit sins and don't argue. Don't fight with people. Don't argue with your group coordinators. Don't argue with your roommates. I know we get put in rooms sometimes with roommates. Don't argue with them. Don't argue with the person who pushes you. Don't argue about the food. Don't complain about the food. I think that was a big one that I saw during Hajj, is that a lot of people were complaining about the food. SubhanAllah. I want you to think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation. the most beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his wife said that he lived for 3 months on dates and dirty water. Water that was black. Subhanallah. So who are we to complain about the food that we're given? So be very, very, very mindful. And so remember, in Hajj, you will have the experience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have. You will be tested. And when things go wrong, it's easy to complain, but don't have that mindset that I paid for this, so I deserve this. Rather, focus on the good and be grateful. Because by being grateful, you can cultivate patience. When you're grateful, then patience will become easier. And subhanAllah, use reframing exercises to see the positives and the lessons in your tests. Take a step back and think and reframe the situation. It may be that it looks like it's something that's bad when in reality it's good for you. You don't know. And everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. And when Allah tests you, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said that there's no sorrow or sadness or distress or hurt or sickness, even a prick of a thorn, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes your sins and elevates your rank. So if you're being tested during Hajj, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifying you. And remind yourself that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Jannah, for Allah's forgiveness. And that will also give you patience. Another thing is that we talked about how you can cultivate patience through gratitude. Subhanallah, I would highly recommend getting a copy of An Attitude of Gratitude. There's 4 colors. This is my color, the pink one. Where it can help you develop this gratitude mindset so that inshallah you can become more patient. And so inshallah, if you order it today, we're gonna try to get it to you before you leave for Hajj. If you have any questions, you can go to the Noble's Blessings website or Facebook page, and you can ask and find out how long it will take to get to you. But when you are reading this and you read about the effects of practicing gratitude and the ill effects of complaining, and it will teach you how to reframe negative things into positive things and cultivate this gratitude mindset, inshallah. So this is an awesome Hajj companion for you, inshallah ta'ala. And it has so many ad'iyah. It has over 20 gratitude du'as, actually over 30. Has gratitude stories and reflections and prompts. So practicing gratitude will really help you attain patience, inshallah ta'ala. And when you feel overwhelmed, I want you to just take a few deep breaths and don't speak. Because when we are emotional, we tend to say things that we'll regret. So when you feel overwhelmed at a situation during Hajj, I just want you to stop. Take some deep breaths through your nose and out through your mouth. And then I want you to, if it's something that, for example, you see something wrong, I want you to not judge the person who's doing something wrong, right? If you're disappointed with yourself, I want you to use that opportunity to glorify Allah's perfection and remind yourself that you're not perfect and that's okay. You're gonna do better. And any time that you're worried or stressed or anxious, I want you to say Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, because Allah is greater than all of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than your mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the mistakes and the flaws of everyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than the situation. I want you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so take some deep breaths, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make istighfar, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever constantly seeks pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will appoint for them a way out of every distress and a relief from every anxiety, and will provide for them a provision from where they don't expect it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, inshallah. And so remind yourself of those things. Another thing is that, subhanAllah, when something good happens, take that time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Alhamdulillah. You know why? Because when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more things that are positive, that make you happy, that will make you thank Him more, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, In shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful, I will increase you. Wala in kafartum inna adhabi lashadid. And if you're ungrateful, my punishment is severe. So if you complain, subhanAllah, there was a khutbah a few weeks ago where the Sheikh said, if you complain about small things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something that you really are going to be complaining about. So don't complain, practice gratitude inshallah, and that will cultivate patience. Number four, be happy, smile, right? You have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people wish to be in your spot? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you, and you are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the guests of Allah are three: the warrior for the sake of Allah, the pilgrim performing Hajj, and the pilgrim performing Umrah. So you are a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be happy, smile. Smile is charity, subhanAllah. I remember when I was in Hajj, everyone was so down. Subhanallah, that's not the characteristic of a believer. The Prophet ﷺ was smiling, he would always smile. And so by smiling and by being happy, you're actually showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing you to be His guest. And subhanallah, have good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant expects me to be. Have good, positive expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from you. Believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Have good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, a dua list. Make sure from today you are making your dua list, especially for Arafah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah, and lucky you are going to be on Arafah. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and accept from you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the hellfire than on the day of Arafah. So make sure that you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees you from the hellfire. And Ali radiallahu anhu used to advise the people to say, oh Allah, free my neck from the hellfire on the day of Arafah. So make lots and lots of dua. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you and gives you the best of the dunya and the akhirah. Ameen. And that reminds me, make sure your dua is balanced. Make sure that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the goodness in this world, but don't forget the goodness of the hereafter. You know, in that passage in Surah Al-Baqarah that I told you about that talks about Hajj, subhanAllah, there's a passage that is subhanAllah, such a good reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then depart from the place where all the people depart from and ask forgiveness of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So ask Allah's forgiveness. That should be a part of your dua. And when you have completed your rites, remember Allah like your previous remembrance of your fathers or with much greater remembrance. And then Allah says, and among the people is he who says, our Lord, give us in this world, and he will have in the hereafter no share. But amongst them will be those who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَكِنْ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those peoples, those will have a share of what they've earned. SubhanAllah. So make sure your dua is balanced. Yes, make dua for your dunya, but also make dua for your akhirah. And if you want to increase the chances of your dua being accepted, start your dua off with the praise and the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with gratitude. and then send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he said that the du'as are like stuck until peace and blessings are sent upon him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you really want your du'as to be accepted and you want the angels to make du'a for you, make du'a for others. Subhanallah. When we make du'a for others, the angels say ameen and they ask Allah to give us something better, inshallah ta'ala. Also, make du'a that Allah accepts. So when we look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he do while he was building the Kaaba? He was saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. O our Lord, accept from us. Verily, you are the السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, the one who hears everything and knows everything. And so make du'a that Allah accepts from you. Number six, have goals. Set goals and have a checklist. And I thought of 10 things that every Hajji should be doing. But inshallah, because of time, next week I'm going to share with you guys 10 good deeds that you need to be doing during Hajj, inshallah, and even outside of Hajj. And I'll create for you all a checklist so that you can print it and take it with you, so that you have a goals checklist. Because guess what happens when you don't have goals, when you don't have anything to hold yourself accountable? You will waste a lot of time. So inshallah, next week I'll talk about things that you could do to make sure that your time is full. So it's so easy to waste time, but remind yourself to do lots of good deeds and to not waste time, because these are the best days of the year and you're in the best place in the world. And so inshallah, and it's really easy to just get distracted by people. It's really easy to get distracted and talk with your roommates, talk with your group. Muzdalifa and Mina, they become very kind of boring, so it's really easy. But inshallah, if you have a checklist and you have a goal, then you're going to be like, oh wait, but I have to be doing this, so I can't be, you know, engaging in this kind of conversation right now. And so inshallah, next week we'll talk about that. Something I did want to talk about is shopping. I think that one of the regrets that I have is that I did spend a little too much shopping when I went for Hajj, to be completely honest, because I was the first person in my family to ever go for Hajj, and so everyone was asking me for things. And instead of just knocking it all out in one shot, I was going multiple days, and I feel like I could have used my time wiser. And so my advice to you is to choose a small amount of time that you will do your shopping, preferably in Medina, and not during the days of Hajj, so that inshallah you can maximize that time. And when you do go shopping, I want you to make sure you say dua as-souq, the dua of the marketplace, because whoever says it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them 1,000 good deeds, and 1 million good deeds, not 1,000, 1 million, elf elf, 1 million good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from them 1 million bad deeds. So inshallah, I'll put that dua in the description when we finish our live stream, inshallah ta'ala. And number seven, last but not least, don't throw it all away. How could I throw it all away? I'm going to give you a few things that we do that remove our good deeds. Number one, backbiting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know who the bankrupt person is? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt person is the one who has no money. And he said, no. The bankrupt person is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment with many good deeds, mountains of good deeds. They come with salah and siyam, fasting. They come with hajj and umrah and sadaqah. But they hurt this person. They hit this person. They backbited against this person. And so these people will take all of their good deeds. So don't backbite. Don't hurt others. Don't say something to someone that will harm them. Really guard your good deeds. Don't do anything that will jeopardize them. The other thing is by not being respectful to other people, because when you're not being respectful to other people, and you're thinking ill thoughts of them, your actions might follow. So be very mindful of that. And bad character, having bad character with others, that ruins our good deeds. And the best good deed that you can do is to have good character, because the Prophet ﷺ said that the people who will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment are those who have the best character. And remind yourself of how hard you worked for this Hajj. Hajj is not easy, even when you're young. And so remind yourself that you don't want to throw it all away, and that you might not get another chance to perform Hajj, right? And that the angel of death does not discriminate. And subhanAllah, shaitan's going to work so hard on you because you've been forgiven. And you've been given a second chance to start over, a clean slate. So don't go back to your old ways when you come back. When you leave Hajj, the Lord of Hajj, the Lord that was watching you in Mecca and rewarding you in Mecca, is the same Lord that watches you and rewards and punishes you when you go back to your homes. And I know it's not easy to stop the sins that we're doing, but that's the point of this life. This life is a struggle. So take care of your good deeds. Don't lose them. And you're starting with a clean slate. Don't refill your book of bad deeds with sins. Make a plan on how, inshallah, you're going to stop doing X, Y, and Z sins. If you haven't been praying, make sure that's the number one thing that you need to work on is your prayers. Making sure that you're praying and you're praying on time. If you're not wearing your hijab, you know, make that intention. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Arafah to make it easy for you and just start. And if you have that problem where you're constantly talking about people, or you have this harshness with people, be very careful and mindful and just practice not speaking. Practice silence. Practice every time you want to say something negative about someone to be silent. Every time you want to notice something negative in someone, because that's how we start backbiting, is because we're constantly looking for the flaws in people. Instead of looking for flaws, look for things that are good in them, inshallah. And I pray and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day of Monday that He forgives all of our sins, and that if we have any grudges in our heart, that He helps remove them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts all of our good deeds, and that He forgives us, and that He enters us all into Jannah without any reckoning and without any punishment. Ameen, ameen, ameen. And jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, I'll see you next week, this time. Inshallah, we'll talk about some easy good deeds that you can be doing in Hajj. And for those who are not going for Hajj, inshallah, we'll do some easy good deeds that they can do as well. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.